This episode is sponsored by the On With Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Go West Credit Union Association's very own Troy Stang. He is here giving us his take on the recent CFPB report that says that credit unions are delivering lower rates than their larger counterparts, which is great news. And as he's here telling us how credit unions can use this information to their benefit, and also how credit unions can actually use it at the upcoming GAC in D.C. here in a few days, how they can present this information to their representatives. So yeah, great stuff here from Troy, so check it out. Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, look who is back in our virtual studios, Mr. Troy Stang from the Go West Credit Union Association. Troy, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Mike.
And some really cool news came down the turnpike the last few days, and it came from, oh my gosh, the CFPB, oh my gosh, that credit unions, not-for-profit, member-owned cooperative structure, they deliver lower rates. And we all kind of know that within the industry, but to have that come from the CFPB, are you kidding me? So, I mean, what's your take on this report? Because obviously the CFPB is kind of a polarizing organization unto itself, but to have a message like this come from the CFPB, what's your take on this?
Well, I think there's a couple things in there, Mike. First off, I think we all recognize credit unions are not-for-profit, member-owned institutions. And our first line of accountability is to our members. Right. We know that. That is, frankly, our forefathers know that. We were chartered and introduced in this nation to really fill a gap in financial services that wasn't there before. So suddenly, you've got the birth of and the development of the credit union movement. And so I think we got to put a pin in that and really understand and underscore where it is that we came from. And then let me pivot and answer your question. So along comes, through the last great recession, a set of rules and regulations, the Dodd-Frank Act, intended to really hamper down at more accountability to the consumer for a lot of the Wall Street institutions. And so we all, I think, understanding why and how the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was originally thought of and mm-hmm. the purpose that it was intended for, probably still exists today. And I got to tell you, it was just a few weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. with the director of the CFPB, and he reflected on a conversation we had just last June, so about 9 months ago, and he keeps on underscoring this key point, Mike, that, you know, what credit unions do is so different. We know our members. He used the term relationship banking, and I think about that. I thought about that. Frankly, I think you picked up on our recent coverage on News 15, ABC News in Phoenix, in the Arizona market, and I think these are just beautiful opportunities to go back and underscore who it is that we are. We are not for-profit institutions. We are not-for-profit institutions. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear that specifically in that news coverage, that it is in these times that I think credit unions' lights shine really bright. And that is because we wake up every day and go to bed every night worrying about producing real tangible value to the consumer, to our members, and our memberships. And the CFPB report really articulated strongly that the smaller issuers, and this is smaller in comparison to all the different places plastics and credit lines of credit and credit cards come from, and we all get them in our email offers, in our mailbox, traditionally. But if you really, if you do business with that institution that you know, you see in your local community, and or that you can actually touch, reach out and have that relationship with them, which typically are your local institutions, many times credit unions, the CFPB report articulated you're going to get a better deal. The rates are going to be more attractive. And so I think we've got to really tout that and shine a light on that, especially on the cusp of all of us, or so many of us, heading to Washington, D.C. For America's Credit Union's Government Affairs Conference. This is a time to shine a light on it. It is also a time, I think, for Washington, D.C. to hear from credit unions. Because we have had this rule and regulation after regulation telling us what financial services can't do. And I think our opportunity next week when Washington, D.C. Is re-underscoring what we can do and what we are doing as not-for-profit member institutions who are owned by their members, driven by their members, accountable to their members. Mm-hmm. And I think if we all gather in D.C. And do our hikes on Capitol Hill and we talk to the administration and our regulators, we've got to re-underscore that our first line of accountability. Yes, we're regulated institutions, but we wake up every day and go to bed every night worried about those consumers and the small businesses that we serve.
Does this report or this message, does it lend more credibility to the credit union industry when folks are hiking the hill and meeting their representatives? Does it add a bit more credence to it, do you think?
Mike, you've been you've witnessed a little bit of our work in the Go West region, whether at the state advocacy level that's so hyper local, or our work now next week in Washington, D.C. We lead with this, framing all of our conversations around it's the structure that makes credit unions so different. And because of that structure, they can produce real tangible value to their memberships and drive an impact, an economic development impact in their community. And so I think a report like this is a beautiful springboard to re-underscore we can do what we do because we are not for profits, because we're accountable to the members, and because we're not enriching Wall Street investors for a bottom line. We're trying to enrich our members. Mm-hmm. But listen, let me underscore this even stronger, Mike. If the overreach and or the intensity of the regulation is causing these not-for-profit cooperatives to scratch our heads and say, my goodness, if we're spending more time answering to the regulatory structures and schemes versus answering to the needs of our community and our members, then I don't know if the balance is if public policy has that balance correct. Yeah. And a week like next week in Washington, D.C. during the Government Affairs Conference is going to be an opportunity for us as a movement to, I think, underscore that louder and clearer to the Hill than we ever have before. Yeah. Because the Hill is also looking at, and I think there is some awareness, if you put so much regulation in place and all the other pressures that happen on business, you're going to see this immense consolidation and maturation of the industry that ultimately the consumer and Main Street businesses are not going to have a choice. And choice and the variety and the number of choices to pick from is critically important because it translates to what this report articulates. It translates to what I highlighted on ABC Channel 15 News in Phoenix, and that is the smaller local institutions, that hyper-local relationship banking matters, and the CFPB report articulates it matters in dollars and cents to the members and the consumers that are being served.
In your conversations with I'll get back to the questions here, but one of your comments earlier, you said you were just in D.C. a couple of weeks ago talking with the CFPB. Do they get credit unions? Do they get our mission? Do they get what we're trying to do?
I think when you slow them down, and let me just say, there's a lot of elected officials who see their credit unions at home. And frankly, are probably even most likely members of a credit union. So they see that work. So the short answer is yes.
Good.
The longer answer is as an elected official, as a policy official, do they understand the policy, the statutory, and the regulatory framework that they're putting over all of financial institutions, but more specifically to your question, do they understand A, the overreach, or the B, the wrong sizing of some of these regulations? Because when it puts too much pressure on the industry, and frankly, in a not-for-profit segment of the industry, if we can't figure out how to deliver, if we have so much regulation, we can't figure out how to deliver financial services to the consumers, to the marketplace, in the best possible means, then you, public policy, probably have cranked down on the regulation just too much.
Yeah. I want to get back to the GAC again, which is going to be happening here right around the corner, obviously. But so how should folks use this information when meeting with their legislators, the representatives? Because you said you point out perfectly, it's a great springboard to get to a deeper conversation. So I'm in total agreement with you. So should they start out with like, oh my gosh, did you just see that report by the CFPB? You know, I mean, that would be my kind of my knee jerk reaction if I'm meeting with somebody who's making decisions. So, I mean, what's your take? What would you do?
My challenge and invitation to every credit union person that either is going to Washington, D.C. or serving their members back home each and every day or talking to elected officials is frame your conversation around the fact our structure is what makes us different. Because public policy, when they give us the benefit, whether a state charter or a federal charter, operate these institutions under a not-for-profit charter, that comes with an here's the key point. It comes with an expectation that the institution, not-for-profit, can run, operate, and squeeze real tangible value out to the consumer. Mm-hmm. That shows up in things like attractive interest rates on both sides of the balance sheet, savings products, lending products. It shows up in access. It shows up in all the things that we do, the financial education. We don't do those things. We can't do those things if we don't do well financially, if we're not financially strong institutions. But that delivery of value is an expectation, and we've got to articulate that to public policy. And when you are financially strong as a consumer and a member of a financially strong credit union, then there's an expectation that credit union can help be driving the economic impact in their community. And that's all the things that credit unions are doing, either individually or collaboratively, around affordable workforce housing or micro enterprise lending and creative solutions within their own community or city or county jurisdictions. That's the work. And we've got to remind public policy that work only takes place because they've enabled these not-for-profit institutions. So if I was a credit union preparing to go to DC, I would be thinking about how do I frame my conversation about how I take this not-for-profit entity every day and our teams and produce real tangible value and make an impact in the community. And Mike, you're going to tell me, Troy, that's that acronym, SVI, structure, value, and impact. But can you imagine the chorus? If we've got 5,000 credit union people uniquely telling their story, but yet identically framing it around, here's what the structure is enabling us to do from a real tangible value and making an impact in the community, I think we can leave Washington, D.C. with a better understanding that these not-for-profit cooperatives are in the market for a reason. We've enabled their charters, we're modernizing their charter so that they can be relevant to generations to
come. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think the timing of this report is ideal for our industry and with the GAC, again, right around the corner. So the timing couldn't have been better. So I'm looking at the long haul here. What should we be doing with this information in the long run, post-GAC? What should we be doing with this information?
I love it when an individual credit union or a group of credit unions collectively continue to measure their success year after year, cycle after cycle, on the amount of real tangible value they're able to deliver to their memberships. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the evolution of the technology, the modernization of the institutions, the things that we use to operate our institution should allow the real tangible value delivery to continue to grow year after year. And that's across the membership, that is per member. And obviously it's helping an individual member or a small business grow their financial wealth, their financial health year after year. And we should be able to, regardless if you're going to DC or not, you should be able to look through that lens and be able to answer that question for your membership as a whole and be able to answer that to your individual member.
Indeed. Well said. Well said. I have a little bit of a frog in my throat. I apologize. So what are you guys at Go West, what are you guys doing with this information?
How we're using this information, obviously, we have been in this cycle. The first quarter is very much focused on credit unions telling their message in every one of our state gavels. The legislative body at the state level has gaveled in, and our philosophy is those elected officials should hear and come to the capital cities to do the business of the state. They should also understand the impact and the value that the credit unions in their state are delivering. And so we've been on this journey, almost like state by state practice runs, preparing for now our time in D.C. And I think about, again, packing and getting ready for Washington, D.C. If I was a credit union professional, board member, executive, doesn't matter, I want to be thinking about what are those key things that really are crowd stoppers, those things that I can talk about in my credit union all the way across the country in Washington, D.C., that are those wow stories and moments, the things that we are able to do at home in our credit union because we are a not-for-profit. Come armed with those, because America's Credit Union Association, the Go West, all the leagues do well on ensuring our talking points are in place, making sure we've got all the appropriate asks. But what makes this massive presence on the Hill in Washington, D.C. so important is the fact that each individual credit union can help lay down those stories. And it's those real stories that I think connect in a way so differently than the facts and data and the high level asks that we make. And so I am so convinced that we will leave Washington, D.C. After we've been there for a week, having moved the needle and helping that public policy city understand if it weren't for credit unions in this nation, we wouldn't have had the economic development and the recovery that we are having in our communities. And there is more work to do, and you need credit unions in the trenches doing it.
Well, my last question goes back to the very beginning, was about relationship banking and what's your take on that? Because you said that really resonates well with actually the folks at the CFPB as well as legislators. So last question, if you want to wrap that up with that thought on how it resonates with these folks on Capitol Hill, relationship banking.
Mike, you asked about relationship banking, and I think it's such a unique phrase. And frankly, it's one of the phrases that I've heard the director of the CFPB use several times. I asked him, what are those behaviors you're trying to get to or manage or control by the regulation or the priorities of the CFPB? And he used this term about relationship banking, and that is, those institutions that know who their member is, know who their customer is, and the customers know how to communicate or connect with their institution. And I think that's a real test for all of us. And he used that term. And so fascinating to me, as I was at ABC News station in Phoenix, Arizona, and the staff at this news station did their homework. They did their homework as they should for the state of Arizona. They did their homework out of studying the CFPB report, but recognizing, and this is to the answer to your question, recognizing all the choices the marketplace has. The reporter very, very quickly, Garrett found really quickly in his own observation, it's the smaller issue, the local institutions, those by which the marketplace has a relationship with that are offering better rates on their product. And he had it dialed down in, of course, an interview, a media interview. You only get the little clip. But he understood very clearly that difference in rate put $18 million in the back pockets of Arizonans.
Wow.
And he said, that is real money. That is real money to the consumer. And of course, part of that whole interview, you don't get to see all of it, but the clip that I was able to really underscore is we can do that because we are not for-profit financial institutions, mm-hmm. accountable to the member, for the member, for the membership. And that is that value, that real tangible value is the value proposition that substantiates and defines. We're not returning profits, and we don't need to a bunch of investors. We can return these profits back to the members, and it shows up in
where
that real
it should be. Yeah, which is what
so
be.
it was very much a mic drop moment, if you will, and I hope it's a mic drop moment for the marketplace. And I think it's an opportunity for us as credit unions, as tough as the day to day running of our shops can be. This is why we're on the chase.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's motivation enough for sure. And that money you talked about either goes into a member savings account or back into the local economy. It's just it's a very positive cycle, I would think. So yeah, for sure. So yeah, so much positivity, Troy. I love this stuff. All righty, sir. Well, anything else here to add to wrap up before my head explodes?
I think we did well in underscoring what to do preparing to come to DC, what to do when you're in DC, how to frame your message in a manner that the public policy officials can differentiate us from every other provider in financial services. Mm-hmm. And just a huge thank you for the entire credit union community. You know, the hard work of running the institution day to day, but that's frankly the advocacy that they do for the members that they serve every day. But to be able to take that time and ensure the voice is heard mm-hmm. in this, you know, at the state by state level and then at the national scene, thank you. Your associations can do it, but we need you all standing there and participating in this process. And that's what next week is about.
And they have all the frontline stories as well that really resonate as well. So yeah, those anecdotes and those stories, they bring it to life for sure. So all right, Troy, well, I'm going to let you get going. I know you have a busy, busy schedule, and we will see you in a few days at the GAC as well. Looking forward to that.
Our nation's capital. See you in the Beltway.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On With Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.